Welcome in, everybody, ready to dive into another one. Today, you're taking a deep dive into, well, cannabis industry disputes.
Oh, interesting.
But specifically, we're looking at how to avoid drafting a really bad arbitration agreement.
Yeah.
You know, those agreements, they can end up costing more time and money than they save if they're not done right.
Yeah. It's fascinating to see how, as the cannabis industry grows, we're seeing a bigger reliance on arbitration for handling these, you know, business disputes.
Well, it makes sense when you think about it with all the legal complexities around cannabis.
Yeah.
Traditional court battles, oh, they can be a nightmare.
Definitely.
So we're diving into this legal guide today.
Okay.
It breaks down the common pitfalls.
All right.
When you're drafting these arbitration agreements, specifically for cannabis businesses, what's the, like, biggest takeaway for our listeners?
I think the guide really stresses being super clear and specific in the language of the agreements.
Okay.
It might seem obvious at first glance, but you'd be surprised how often, you know, things are vague or ambiguous.
Right.
And that creates huge headaches later on.
Yeah, like almost like you're trying to navigate with a broken compass. You think you're going in the right direction, but you're just lost and frustrated.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about serious consequences here.
Wow.
You know, we're talking delays, procedural roadblocks.
Right.
Even potentially, you know, winding up back in court, which defeats the purpose.
Right, exactly.
Of choosing arbitration.
So to illustrate this point, the guide uses an actual case study, right?
Yes.
Can you kind of walk us through what happened there?
Absolutely. So this case involved a cannabis business that had two different agreements.
Oh.
Each of them had, guess what, different dispute resolution clauses.
A recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a recipe for confusion. Yeah. It was a mess. The language around mediation was contradictory.
Okay.
The way you're supposed to pick an arbitrator was totally unclear.
Right.
They couldn't even agree on which organization should handle the arbitration.
Wow. So they couldn't even agree on, like, the basic framework of resolving their dispute.
Exactly. Like, even little things. Like, one agreement would say, okay, here's the venue.
Yeah.
The other one, nothing. Total silence.
Wow.
And the guide points out how all these drafting errors, you know, they just created this domino effect.
Yeah.
Months of delays, costs are going up, everybody's just frustrated.
It's almost funny how a tiny detail can derail everything.
Yeah.
The guide even mentions this debate. They were arguing over what competent meant.
Yes.
Like a competent arbitrator.
Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because the agreement was so vague.
So they're basically arguing about the arbitrator's resume.
Exactly.
Before they can even address the actual dispute.
They didn't put in, you know, specific qualifications or experience.
Right.
So now you've got this extra layer of time and money just to figure out the ground rules.
It's like they set themselves up to fail right from the get-go. So what can our listeners do, you know, those who are drafting their own arbitration agreements?
Okay, well, the guide gives some pretty practical advice.
Okay, good.
So one big thing is, make sure all your agreements, at least with the same parties, have identical dispute resolution clauses.
Okay.
Like, ideally, you would have one master clause that governs everything, so there's zero chance of conflicting language.
That makes a lot of sense. Streamline it from the start. Save yourself headaches later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's also super important to be really specific about which organization will handle the arbitration.
Okay.
Which rules they're going to follow. Like, for example, you could pick the American Arbitration Association.
AAA.
Yeah, the AAA. Exactly.
Right.
And then you say, okay, we're going to use their commercial arbitration rules.
So you're not just saying, we're going to go to arbitration. Yeah. You're saying, this is exactly how it's going to work.
Exactly. And then when it comes to, you know, describing what kind of arbitrator you need, you got to find a balance.
Mm.
You want to be specific enough to make sure this person actually has the right expertise.
Yeah.
But not so restrictive that, like, nobody on earth qualifies.
Right, right.
So it's a bit of a tightrope walk.
It's a lot to think about, but it sounds like the guide really makes it manageable.
It does, it does. And if our listeners follow this advice, they're going to be in a really good spot.
Okay.
They'll be able to put together an agreement that's clear, it's enforceable, and ultimately gets them the outcome they want.
So it's all about protecting your interests and making sure that if a dispute does come up, you have a fair and efficient process.
Exactly.
That's the goal. Yeah. We've covered a good amount here, but we're just getting started.
Yeah.
Let's dig into some more of these essential details.
Absolutely.
After a quick break. We've been talking about how important it is to be really clear, you know, super specific in the language of these arbitration agreements.
Yeah.
especially when it comes to things like the arbitrator's role.
Oh, absolutely. And that actually brings us to another key point the guide really stresses, defining the scope of the arbitrator's authority.
Okay, can you break that down a little?
Sure.
What do we even mean by scope of authority when we're talking about these agreements?
It's basically like setting those boundaries, what the arbitrator can decide, what they can't decide, like drawing a line in the sand, making sure everybody understands what issues are on the table and what issues are totally off limits.
So, for example, you might say, okay, the arbitrator can only rule on things that are directly related to the contract itself.
Exactly.
Not some, you know, side issue.
Yeah, yeah.
It was never part of the agreement.
Absolutely. You want to avoid any kind of ambiguity, right? That could lead to one party saying, whoa, the arbitrator is way overstepping their bounds here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're back in court. More legal battles, more delays, and that's exactly what we're trying to avoid.
Defeats the whole purpose.
Exactly.
So does the guide give any specific tips for how to, you know, make sure everything's clear?
Yeah, it does. It suggests using super specific language to define the types of claims that are actually arbitrable. So, like, instead of just broadly saying all disputes, you could say disputes arising from the interpretation or performance of this agreement.
So it's about getting down into those details.
The nitty-gritty.
Leaving no room for, like, misinterpreting things.
Exactly. You want to be crystal clear.
And I would think that's especially important in the cannabis industry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you've got disputes over all sorts of things.
All sorts of things. Licensing agreements, supply contracts, IP rights, you know, regulatory compliance. I mean, the list goes on and on.
So it's almost like you're building this fence.
I like that.
Around what the arbitrator can do.
A fence. Yeah. You want a strong fence.
Yeah.
No gaps. No weak points.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody knows where they stand. Nobody can sneak through some loophole.
So let's say our listeners, you know, sitting down, they're ready to draft this agreement. What are some, like, must-have phrases or clauses?
Okay. Well, one crucial thing is to state explicitly that the arbitrator's decision is final.
Okay.
It's binding.
Right.
On both parties. That way, you know, somebody can't be like, oh, I don't like the outcome. I'm going to appeal it in court.
Right. Because then, you know, what was the point?
What was the point? Exactly.
Right.
Plus that language, you know, that final and binding, it encourages both sides to come to the table ready to, you know, negotiate in good faith.
Okay.
Because they know the arbitrator's decision is going to have real teeth.
So it's not just about, like, resolving that one dispute.
Right.
It's about setting the tone for a, you know, a better relationship.
Yeah. A more cooperative, more efficient way of doing business together.
Exactly. Okay. So what else should they be thinking about?
Another crucial component is to include a clause that outlines how you're going to pay for all this.
Okay.
Right. Because arbitration, you know, it's not free.
Right.
And disputes over who's footing the bill, well, that can derail everything.
Yeah.
So you want to address that up front in the agreement. You know, maybe you split the costs evenly.
Right, right.
Maybe the losing party pays.
Right.
Maybe there's, you know, some other creative approach.
Right.
Like certain costs are shared or it's based on the outcome. You know, there are different models.
Yeah, I would think there's all kinds of ways to approach it.
Absolutely. And the best approach, you know, it's going to depend on the case.
Yeah.
The industry standards. And this is where having a lawyer, a real expert in this stuff, can be super valuable.
Right.
They can walk you through the options, tailor the agreement to your specific needs.
Okay, good. So it's good to know you don't have to be a legal expert yourself.
Exactly. And luckily, the guide does a really great job of explaining all this stuff in a way that, you know, anyone can understand.
Okay, good. Yeah. And speaking of understanding, it also stresses the importance of using plain language.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Right.
The goal is to make sure the agreement is clear and easy to understand for everybody.
Right.
I mean, think about it. If you can't even agree on what the agreement means.
Right.
But how are you going to agree on how to resolve a dispute based on that agreement?
Right. Exactly. That makes sense. So any tips on how to achieve that?
Yeah.
That clarity?
Yeah. So, like, a good starting point is to use short, straightforward sentences.
Okay.
Avoid those super long run-on sentences with, you know, complex grammar.
Okay.
And whenever possible, use everyday language.
Yeah.
You know, ditch the legal jargon.
So instead of heretofore, just say before.
Perfect example. And then if you absolutely have to use, you know, some legal term,
okay,
make sure you define it clearly within the agreement itself.
Okay.
Don't assume everybody knows what force majeure means or indemnification means.
Right, right.
You know, like, put in those footnotes for people.
Okay, so we're trying to keep things clear and simple.
Yeah.
But are there, like, pitfalls? You know, like, things that people mess up even when they're trying to do it right.
Absolutely. One common mistake is being too vague. You know, people try to condense things down to be brief.
Right.
But then they sacrifice clarity.
Right. So, like, less is more, but not when you're drafting a contract.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance. You want to be concise, but still provide enough detail. Yeah. You don't want it to be so short and simple that it's like, well,
right,
what does this mean?
Open to interpretation.
Exactly. And another common mistake, people forget to specify the governing law for the agreement.
Okay.
You know, different states, different laws.
Right, right.
Surrounding arbitration.
You don't want an arbitrator in California trying to apply California law to a dispute that happened in Colorado.
Exactly. That could get messy.
Yeah.
So especially if you're operating, you know, across multiple states.
Yeah.
Really be mindful of those jurisdictional issues.
So that governing law clause, it's like making sure everyone's playing by the same rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that actually brings up another important point.
Okay, which is,
I think it would be good to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about some of the unique considerations that come into play when you're drafting these agreements specifically for the cannabis industry.
Perfect. So we've laid a good foundation with these general principles.
Uh-huh.
But now let's zoom in on some of the nuances.
So just get specific.
That make this sector, you know, kind of unique.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think a good place to start would be,
all right, so we've really been unpacking a lot about how to make these solid arbitration agreements for cannabis businesses, mm-hmm, making sure everything's clear, being really specific, you know, so everyone's on the same page right from the beginning.
Yeah, and it's not just about slapping together some legal terms, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's real strategy involved in these agreements.
Yeah.
You got to think about your business goals.
Right.
What are the risks?
Yeah.
What outcome do you want if a dispute actually happens?
Because every business is different, right? There's no one size fits all.
Absolutely. Every agreement should be, like, tailor-made for those specific businesses and their situation.
Right.
And that's where, you know, having a legal pro in your corner can be so helpful. Uh-huh. That can help you spot those pitfalls.
Right.
Draft language that really protects you.
Yeah.
Make sure the agreement's actually enforceable, you know, under the law.
It's like having a guide in uncharted territory.
That's a great way to put it. Especially, you know, with cannabis,
yeah,
the legal landscape's always changing.
Right.
So it's good to have somebody who knows what they're doing.
And the guide we've been talking about, it really emphasizes that.
Yeah.
You got to think ahead.
Right.
Like, what happens if the business relationship goes bad? You know, not something anyone wants to think about, but you got to be prepared.
Absolutely. You want to have a plan, a roadmap.
Right.
For how to handle these disputes before they even happen.
Right.
Because once things get emotional, once people get angry.
Yeah.
It's much harder to find a solution that's fair and, you know, everybody's okay with it.
It's like that fire escape plan, right? You hope you never need it, but good to have it if you do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Having that process in place, that roadmap.
Right.
Knowing exactly how you'll handle disagreements.
Yeah.
It can actually build trust and make people more willing to collaborate from the start.
Yeah, because everyone's on the same page. They know the rules of the game.
Exactly.
And they know that if something comes up, it'll be handled fairly.
Precisely. So talking about unique things in the cannabis world, the guide brings up confidentiality.
Oh, right. Because there's still that stigma in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Businesses might have sensitive info that they want to, you know, keep private.
Exactly. We're talking like trade secrets.
Okay.
Financial data, you know, even medical information sometimes.
Right.
So how do you make sure those things are protected during arbitration?
Right. Which is supposed to be more private than a public courtroom. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where a really well-written confidentiality clause comes in. It needs to spell out what's confidential, who can see it, and how you're going to prevent leaks.
So like a vault for your data.
Exactly. Keep it locked up tight.
Are there special things to think about with those confidentiality clauses in the cannabis industry? You know, because the laws are always changing.
Yeah, definitely. You might have to look at how that clause works with state or federal regulations about disclosing certain types of information.
Okay.
Like maybe there need to be exceptions for things like mandatory reporting or, you know, if law enforcement asks.
So you're balancing protecting your business with, you know, following the law.
Exactly, finding that sweet spot. And, you know, it's important to remember that what's confidential today
right.
might not be confidential tomorrow.
Yeah.
The rules keep changing.
So it's not enough to just write it and forget about it.
Yeah.
You got to review it, you know, make sure it's updated, still working.
Exactly. You got to stay on top of things. And speaking of staying on top of things, the guide talks about new trends in arbitration.
Oh, yeah. I'm always interested in how law and technology, you know, mix.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that cannabis businesses should be, like, watching out for?
Well, one thing that's getting really popular is online dispute resolution.
Oh.
So basically, you're doing the whole arbitration process virtually.
Yeah.
Online.
Okay, so that could save a lot of time and money.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, doing business all over the place.
Right, right.
Multiple states internationally.
And it probably makes it more accessible.
Yeah.
For smaller businesses that, you know, can't just hop on a plane.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another trend is, you know, artificial intelligence.
AI.
AI, yeah.
Yeah, that's everywhere now.
It's everywhere. And in arbitration, they're using it for, like, managing cases, analyzing documents.
Wow.
Even helping with decisions in some situations.
So technology is really, like, changing the way we think about resolving disputes.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a big conversation in the legal world right now.
Makes you wonder what the future holds.
Yeah, definitely.
But one thing's for sure. Technology is going to keep shaping things.
Absolutely.
Not just in cannabis, but everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. And businesses need to pay attention, you know, adapt.
Right.
If they want to stay ahead of the game.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
Yeah, we have.
Really explored all the ins and outs of these arbitration agreements in the cannabis world.
From clear language to strategy to the unique challenges of this industry.
I hope everyone listening found this deep dive helpful, insightful. You know, I hope you'll take what you've learned with you as you navigate this exciting world.
Remember, knowledge is power.
Yes.
Arm yourself with the right information.
Right.
You'll make better decisions, protect yourself, set your business up for success.
Absolutely. So keep learning, keep exploring.
Keep diving deep.
That's right. Until next time, happy diving.